China unveils a new plan to kickstart population growth. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In a major policy shift today, Beijing said Chinese couples are now allowed to have up to 3 children. That's up from the 2-children cap currently in place and comes weeks after census data showed the population grew at its slowest pace since the 1960s. From Beijing, the BBC's Stephen McDonnell explains, though, that changing government rules might not be enough. The reality is many people just don't want large families, and that comes with its own economic conundrum.
Despite easing birth restrictions here, more affluent couples are just not having more kids. Let's go back to the 1970s, booming population here, and the government decided they needed to rein this in with the one-child policy. When they eased this off to the 2-child policy not so long ago, it didn't result in people having lots of children. So now they've decided, let's go with 3-child policy. It all comes back to affluence. Families become more affluent and they're living in expensive cities. They just don't want to have as many kids anymore. And that's the reality that China is facing, a little bit in the same way that, say, Korea and Japan are facing this aging population challenge.
And yeah, as you say, it's not just a problem that is happening in China, but all over the world, that people are waiting longer to have children. They're choosing to have fewer later in life. So is there anything that the Chinese government is doing to really incentivize people to have more children?
Not in the way that is going to change their minds, you know what I mean, to have multiple kids. In the run-up to these census figures, we went out and did lots of interviews about this subject, especially in places where people are leaving these kind of Rust Belt cities. Then they go to the big cities, Beijing, or even the bigger cities in the Northeast. It costs more money. And people want their kids to have a better life. And so they think, we'd rather have less kids or even 1 child and give them a much better life than spread it out with having multiple children. But I think most observers think that it wouldn't matter. You could allow people to have 5 kids or 10 kids. The vast majority of young people have shown that they're not prepared to have big families anymore.
So what is the economic impact that China could see if the population growth rate continues to slow?
So this is a big debate amongst the demographers. They argue that by having an aging population, it's demographically unsustainable. That is, that all the retirement age people, their living standards somehow have to be funded through taxes and what have you, of young people. Now, the flip side of that argument, though, is that while all these countries are facing this demographic problem, in the past, the solution from governments has just been keep the population growing, whether it's a capitalist economy or a communist economy or whatever, growth, 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 growth. You just can't grow your way out of every problem. The counter argument has been you can't just keep expanding the population. I mean, at some point or other, you'll have to work out another way of dealing with having that many people.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell for us in Beijing. Thanks for your time.
Good to talk to you.
Checking the numbers now, it's a holiday weekend for the UK and the US, where stock markets are closed today. Benchmarks across Europe and Asia then were little changed this morning. Meanwhile, the OECD said it boosted global growth forecasts for this year. It now anticipates the world economy will expand by 5.8%, up from an earlier estimate of 4.2%. But it warned slow COVID-19 vaccine uptake could dampen that growth if doses don't reach developing nations quickly enough. Well, speaking of vaccine rollouts, just 1% of Taiwan's 23 million strong population has been inoculated against the virus. That's causing concern for the government, which has had trouble procuring enough shots as infections continue to rise. Authorities have now signed deals with 2 local companies to buy up to 20 million vaccine doses produced on the island. The BBC's Anna Pissarro has more on that story.
It's not clear when the 2 Taiwanese companies will be ready to supply the COVID vaccines, as they have yet to receive official approval. Last week, the Taiwanese president accused China of blocking attempts to buy the Pfizer-BioNTech shot, just as the island was about to complete the contract with a manufacturer in Germany. China, which sees Taiwan as part of its territory, offered supplies from its licensed company. But the island said Beijing was using vaccines to force a reunification. China denies the allegations.
Anna Pissarro there. Motorcycles are a common form of transportation across the Asia-Pacific region, which now represents more than 20% of global sales. Lead-acid batteries are often used to power the bikes, But improper battery recycling, once they're no longer needed, is posing a health hazard for many developing nations. In Bangladesh, a cottage industry has sprung up to burn old car and auto rickshaw batteries in unsafe conditions, as the BBC's Vivian Nunes reports.
Rush hour in Dhaka, the Bangladeshi capital. Since the auto rickshaws, or easy bikes as they're known locally, were introduced a decade ago, demand for lead-acid batteries has skyrocketed. Today, recycling them is big business. That's because lead-acid batteries are those rare products that can be recycled cheaply and easily in backyard settings, and that's leading to some huge problems.
We're standing in the village of Katgora. This place used to be full of bamboo trees. It was a plantation.
Amjad Hussain is a local landowner.
Then a man came and wanted to rent it to set up his battery recycling factory. But when they started burning the lead in the stoves, lots of smoke would come out and lots of objections started coming from the villagers.
More than 95% of the car batteries sold in Bangladesh are manufactured from recycling old ones. Unregulated battery recycling takes place across the developing world, and a new study has found out just how widespread a problem lead exposure really is.
My name is Brett Erickson. I'm an independent researcher based in New York City.
Brett and his team studied the data on blood lead levels in 34 of the world's low and middle income countries.
Lead is taken up into the body. It works its way through the blood into the brain, where it confuses calcium and impedes the development of gray matter in the brain.
Drew McCarter from Pure Earth, a not-for-profit group dedicated to solving pollution problems, says in the past, government's approach to stamping out illegal battery recycling has failed.
These informal camps require very little equipment and capital to set up. If you go around closing them down, they will very often just reemerge a couple of weeks later, a couple of blocks away. It really takes a more comprehensive approach and changing the incentives so that batteries are only going into licensed safe recyclers.
Big battery manufacturers are working with organizations in developing countries to try and ensure just that. But it's likely to be some time before the backyard recyclers are eradicated. I'm the BBC's Vivian Nunes for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.